Good morning, honorable members.
Morning, Chair.
Honorable members. Yes, thank you. Thank you, honorable members. I hope you are all feeling well. Everyone is good, and we are also good to go. Honorable members, yeah, it's that time of the week. On this day, the 17th of May, the Africa Day, sorry, the Africa Month, rather. So we're meeting today to consider a briefing from the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, wherein we'll be getting a briefing on the Post-Bank Amendment Bill. This is the main agenda item that we are dealing with today. And I wish to take this opportunity to welcome you all, honorable members, to this meeting, and that the meeting is now duly opened. And I will then ask the Secretariat to help us with apologies. Amanda, can you take us through us with the apologies that we have received?
Good morning, Chair. I have not received any apologies.
Okay. That's okay then. On my side, I have received a written apology from the Honorable Minister, Honorable Monty Kongubele. And he has made an indication that today he will be busy with the interviews for the DG position of the department. But however, the Deputy Minister will be joining us. He has made that indication as well in that letter, as well as the acting DG will also join us for this briefing. That's the only apology which I received on my side. Let me then take this opportunity to welcome the Deputy Minister, who is here to lead the delegation. And the Deputy Minister will then help us by handing over to the designated official to take us through the briefing. DM, we welcome you, and we really appreciate that we have you in this meeting. We know that Wednesday is a difficult day, and I want to give you the assurance of this committee that we are working on rescheduling this day so that we don't clash with the cabinet meetings and cabinet committees. But I truly appreciate on behalf of the members that you came through. It helps us to ensure that our work is actually processed. So I wish to give you the opportunity now, DM, to address the committee and give us the introductory aspect of the briefing from the political perspective and the ministerial perspective. Over to you, DM.
Greetings to you. Thank you very much, Honorable Shepherd.
Recording in progress.
And thank you very much to all the honorable members on the platform. My connectivity, Chair, is not very good, but I think it's a bit stable now. I didn't pick up some of the points you're raising. Just to say, Chair, today is quite a very hectic day for us. There is a cabinet committee that is in session. This afternoon also we're having a budget vote debate, and the minister is also engaged.
Recording stopped.
The department.
Recording in progress.
So, Chair, he has conveyed his apologies, and I will be leading the departmental delegation. Chair, can you hear me?
We hear you very clearly, DM Mapulana.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Chair. I thought I was missing you. Chairperson and honorable members, we are presenting you to you today the Post Bank Amendment Bill, which has been taken through the National Assembly, and through which we intend to ensure that we bank the unbanked, we provide financial inclusion. And so the history of this amendment bill, Chair, arises from the passing of the Post Bank, South African Post Bank Limited Act in 2010, my apologies. And after the passing of the Post Bank Act, it created a separation between the Post Bank and the Post Office. As you know, that the Post Bank was a subsidiary of the Post Office. And so in order to provide for the licensing of the Post Bank, it had to be separated and to be incorporated. So this bill seeks to conclude that separation process and to provide for the full banking licenses. The decision was taken then that this separation has to happen because of the requirements of the licensing authority, which is the Prudential Authority, that required a certain capital adequacy to be to exist by the bank controlling company. And so if Post Office were to continue to be the bank controlling company of the Post Bank, it was going to run into difficulties because of the current financial problems that you all know that the Post Office is going through. So then there was a need for that separation to happen. And so this bill is proposing the establishment of the banking controlling company that will then be responsible for the administration of the Post Bank. I think the details of this, the officials will be able to take us through the presentation. But just to say that for us, Chairperson, this is quite critical that this bill should be passed so that we are able to position the Post Bank to become a state bank. We have already started the processes of making sure that we reposition the Post Bank to be the state bank. There are other services that the board working with the shareholder is looking at to introduce so that we can fully transform this entity into becoming a state bank and to transform the financial services sector, as we know that it has not really been sufficiently transformed, this sector. It is not able to bank. The majority of our people doesn't have access to banking services or to financial services. So we are trying to reposition it to fully provide these services and also to make sure that the majority of our people have got access to financial services. With that, Chair, I'm going to hand over to the team in the department to then take us through the details of the proposed amendments. DG, are you around?
NDM.
Okay, may you please introduce or indicate who's going to be taking us through?
Thank you very much. A very good morning, Chairperson. Also, greetings to the honourable members of the Select Committee. So I'm trying to switch on my camera. I'm using my device as we have challenges with the network in the office. Chair, through you, may I then request if someone could assist us with the presentation, loading of the presentation?
Can the host fly to the presentation, please? There she is. TG, we do have now the presentation on the screen. You can switch on your microphone and talk to it. Thank you. Your mic remains muted.
Thank you very much, Chair, and apologies for that. The main objectives, as the Deputy Minister has indicated, is for us then to establish this bank controlling company. And honourable members, you will recall that this process has been with us since 2015 and 16, and when we tried to then allocate this to the post office. It was then found that the post office do not meet the minimum requirements. And therefore, it required us to ensure that we designate a qualifying entity or representative to then be the bank controlling company and then to also amend, therefore, the South African Post Bank Act in this regard. We are also mindful, honourable members, if I can then just indicate the steps that we had undertaken. There has been full consultations within government and then also with both the state law advisors as well as the state attorneys towards then us finalising this. We also had to ensure that we cabinet approved the bill for onward tabling to parliament. The bill is being tabled as the Section 75 bill, but we're mindful of then that in terms of the working arrangements between National Assembly and NCOP, it is then being passed on as a consultation to this body. We had extensively engaged with then the Portfolio Committee on Communications, consulting on the bill. There were numerous stakeholders who made submissions, which we welcomed. By and large, I must also want to emphasize that there has been support on the bill itself. And therefore, the status of the Act itself is that it's in its final stages
food or tabling. If I may then ask the DDG Shalembe to then take us through the various proposals as well as then the rationale for the establishment of the bank controlling company, and then also then the specific amendments that we are then seeking to amend. I would like to at this juncture also then to thank all the partners in this particular process. The collaboration in as far as the separation is concerned between SAPO, the Post Bank, and the full support of National Treasury in this regard. The support that we've received also in terms of input from then the regulatory and licensing in the banks, as well as also the Reserve Bank and the Prudential Authority, which we'd also do appreciate. We also want to appreciate the inputs from the financial sector, the Financial Sector's Conduct Authority, the Banking Association of South Africa, as well as then the Ombudsman. And then all the other stakeholders who have also then worked this journey with us. You will also you will also see from the input that the labor as well as the employees are very critical, as we know that there is a working relations that are there between the post office as well as the Post Bank. So the Labor Federation's input extensively dating back to 2016. In as far as then this process, we do appreciate as well, Chair. So I'd like to hand over to DDG Shalembe to then assist and to take you through the presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Good morning to EM and ADG and colleagues on the platform. I'm going to be taking the committee through the presentation. The outline of the presentation covers the main objectives of the Post Bank Amendment Bill, the rationale for the creation or the establishment of the bank controlling company, requirements to qualify for registration as a bank controlling company, and we'll go to detailed amendments to the South African Post Bank SOC Limited Act. We will also go through review of the public comments received during the follow committee on communications and digital technologies consultations on the Post Bank Amendment Bill. Then we will go to of the Post Bank Amendment. And then finally, we'll go to the actual amendments that have been proposed on the Act itself. Sorry. So one of the objectives of the amendment is to amend the South African Post Bank SOC Limited Act of 2010 in order to mitigate the risk associated with the structure envisaged in the Post Bank Act, which provides that the post office or SAPO shall be the sole owner and shareholder of the Post Bank. Specifically, we are proposing to amend the shareholding arrangements for the Post Bank, transferring shareholding from the South African Post Office to government through the creation of a new bank control company. Again, the amendment provides for the facilitation of the establishment and registration of the bank controlling company in terms of the Banks Act, and also provide for matters connected therewith. The Ministry of Communications and Digital Technology will be the shareholder department to be responsible directly for the Post Bank as a standalone on behalf of the government. this to be effected by establishing a BCC or a bank controlling company between Postbank and the department in the reporting structure. Another objective has to do with the amending of other sections of the Act which are impacted by the change in the Postbank reporting structure. Upon the enactment of the Postbank Bill into law, the bank controlling company for Postbank will then be registered in terms of Section 43 of the Act to exercise control over the Postbank. This will largely conclude the Postbank license application process. What is the rationale for the establishment of the BCC? The bank controlling company is required to be registered in terms of Section 43 of the Banks Act, as I have mentioned, and it exercises control over the Postbank. It becomes a shareholder of reference for capital adequacy and in terms of compliance and submission of statutory monthly returns as stipulated in the Banks Act regulations and circulars. The implication is that the BCC has to step in and recapitalize and support its subsidiary bank if it runs into financial difficulties. So one of the key requirements is that the BCC must be in a financially sound position in terms of Section 44(2)(e) of the Banks Act. Meanwhile, currently we have Section 3(2) of the Postbank Act, which states that upon the incorporation of the Postbank company, SAPO shall be the sole member and shareholder of the company, implying that SAPO needed to be registered as a BCC for Postbank. To mitigate this or to deal with this challenge, an appropriate BCC reporting structure had to be determined. And various structure options were considered to determine the optimal option by the department, treasury, and in consultation with the Reserve Bank and SAPO. It is the requirement that the BCC must be in a financially sound position in terms of Section 44(2)(e) of the Banks Act. Unfortunately, SAPO is not in a financially sound position to meet the requirements for registration as a BCC. As a result, there would be very high capital adequacy requirements if SAPO were to be the direct shareholder of the Postbank. Also, SAPO's non-banking services posed a threat to the safeguarding of depositors' funds, in that government will be obliged to provide ongoing financial support to SAPO in order to maintain the BCC structure option. As a result of the above challenges, the appropriate reporting structure of the BCC had to be determined. This is to mitigate against the above risk to the Postbank banking license application. The structures which were considered to determine the optimal option by the Department and Treasury in consultation with the SAPO and SAPO are presented below. I'm just going to go quickly through the various structures which were considered and then the one that has been identified as the optimal structure. On the extreme left of the diagram is the current arrangement, where government through the DCDT is a shareholder of SAPO and a Postbank is a subsidiary of SAPO. The option number two that was considered was government, SAPO and Postbank as a subsidiary. And the next option, which is option number two, was the bank controlling company as a standalone, where government will own the bank controlling company, which will in turn own the Postbank. That is option two. And the option three, we have a bank controlling company as a subsidiary of SAPO, whereby government will own SAPO, which in turn will own the bank controlling company, which in turn will own Postbank. Or in number four, we'll have the BCC as the holding company, where government will have a shareholding in the controlling company, and then it will own Postbank and SAPO simultaneously. And the last option was SAPO as a holding company, where government owns SAPO, which will then own the bank controlling company, SAPO Mail, and e-commerce businesses, whereby the BCC will also then further own the Postbank. Option two, which was recommended by National Treasury, makes the Postbank to report directly to the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies through the establishment of the bank controlling company between the department and the Postbank, and was selected as the optimal reporting structure option. The reason for this is that it has the least financial implications for the bank based on the results of the financial audits on the capital costing requirements of the various options. Also, support financial and liquidity position and the requirements as outlined in the Financial Matters Amendment Act did not allow for the BCC to report to SAPO, and therefore it reinforces the selected BCC option. In addition to the above, the Reserve Bank or the Prudential Authority made it clear that it will be comfortable with the BCC structure endorsed by the National Treasury as it controls the fiscal, which will be expected to support the BCC and Postbank in cases of financial difficulties. To effect the appropriate BCC structure for Postbank, therefore, amendments to the Postbank Act have been effected as contained in the Postbank Amendment Bill. The Postbank Amendment Bill was developed by the department in consultation with key stakeholders. These were mainly the Post Office, Postbank, and National Treasury. It was submitted and presented to the economic sectors, investment, employment, and infrastructure development cluster, or the SAID cluster, and cabinet committee after certifications by relevant authorities, which were the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor for legal drafting, and the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, DPME, for the CIAS report. The bill was publicly consulted upon, and the SAID cluster supported the bill for submission to the ministerial cluster after its comments were addressed. Cabinet approved the bill for public comments, and the revised bill incorporated feedback from the public consultation, which have been presented to Cabinet on March 2nd, 2022, requesting approval to introduce the bill in Parliament. The approval was then granted by Cabinet. The bill was submitted to the Speaker of the National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces during April 2022 for further processing in Parliament. The Portfolio Committee on Communications has then since commenced its on processing of the bill and published the bill for public comment. The department assisted to respond to the public comment. These are the entities that reported or made submissions for comments to the Portfolio Committee consultation process. COSAD supported the amendments to the Amendment Bill, given its critical mandate of financial inclusion. Right to Know had a concern about the powers of the minister to appoint the Postbank board and the CEO and CFO, and with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance in the board appointment. This was clarified to and it was made clear that it is the CFO and then makes recommendations to the minister for approval as the shareholder. The Financial Sector Conduct Authority and the Banking Association of South Africa also supported the bill, making inputs to the definition of financial services in the Fair Use Act, as well as recommending that the board members of the board bank controlling company should at least constitute 50% of the post bank board members, as well as 50% of independent board members. The Ombudsman for Banking Services of South Africa also made some insertions and deletions of some definitions. All of the above organizations supported the post bank amendment bill, and the comments were incorporated in the revised bill during the deliberation at the PCC. Follow committee has then since completed its deliberation on the bill and approved the bill for submission to the National Assembly for a debate and vote. The National Assembly has since approved the bill for noting by the National Council of Provinces and then for the President's approval for signature thereafter. In conclusion, then, we are saying the signing of the bill into law will enable the completion of the post-bank license application process. It is also vital that the Select Committee supports the bill for signing into law, given the imperative of utilizing a post-bank as a springboard for the state bank. I now proceed to the detailed amendments which we have proposed to the Post-Bank Amendment Act. Clause 1, it seeks to amend Section 1 of the Act. It provides that a definition contained in the bill be amended, and also deals with understanding and interpretation relating to additional clauses. Clause 2 provides for the amendment of Section 2 by removing the word legal person and replace it with the company and bank controlling company, and by deleting transactional and replacing it with financial services and banking services. This is to ensure a better use of the language and interpretation of the Act. Clause 2 also seeks to amend Section 2B of the Act after the words post office to insert the words any other means of delivery the company may deem appropriate for its operational needs. This amendment seeks to give the post bank operational flexibility, void solely depending on the SAPO infrastructure. Postbank shall also be able to take advantage of the fintech opportunities. Clause 2 further seeks to amend Section 2F of the Act to provide for the objective of responsible lending to rural and lower income markets. It further provides for the amendment of Section 2 of the Act by the addition of paragraph G, which provides a further object of the Act for the Post Bank Division of the Post Office to act as a delivery arm of government to effect and payment services to citizens. The insertion of a new paragraph G in Section 2 of the Act seeks to distinguish the post bank from the normal banks, as the post bank shall be a state-owned commercial bank conducting the business of a bank as defined in the Banks Act. This shall ensure that the post bank shall act as a delivery arm of government to effectively deliver financial and payment services to citizens. Clause 3 provides for the amendment of Section 3 of the Act to ensure the establishment of the bank controlling company in terms of the Banks Act. It further provides for the amendment of Section 3 of the Act to allow the minister to consider and approve any other shareholdings with the concurrence with the Minister of Finance and in line with the requirements of the relevant Act. It further provides for the name of the bank controlling company as the South African Post Bank SOC Limited, and that no other person other than the Post Bank carry on any business or be registered with name. It further provides for the amendment of Section 3 of the Act to provide that the bank controlling company will hold 100% shares in the company, which is the Post Bank, and that is the BCC will exercise oversight over the Post Bank and ensures that the company exercises sound risk management and good governance practices in line with the Banks Act and its regulations. It also provides for the minister to register or to apply to register the BCC in accordance with Section 43 of the Banks Act. In Clause 4, Chairperson, we provide for the amendment of Section 9 of the Act by insertion of paragraph G and in subsection 1, which essentially says the Post Bank may use any infrastructure to render its services where the post office is not available or does not cater for its operational needs. It further provides for the substitution of Section 9.2A of the Act to provide and the post office with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance to conclude an agreement which governs COVID-19. Clause amendment of Section 10 of the Act to provide that the Minister appoints or reappoints the members of the board with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. The concurrence of the Minister of Finance is not obtained granted according to this clause. Section 10 of the Act is also amended to provide that the members of the board of the company and the bank controlling company are to be appointed or reappointed by the minister in the same manner contemplated in Section 14 of the Act and in accordance with the requirements of the Banks Act. The board of the bank controlling company is made up of 10 non-executive members, 50% of which are appointed by the minister from among the board of the company. Clause 6 provides for the amendment of Section 12 of the Act, which provides for the composition of the board. This amendment seeks to ensure that when members of the board are appointed, they are fit and proper persons in terms of the Banks Act. Clause 6 further provides for the amendment of Section 12.1c of the Act by replacing the words managing director with the words chief executive officer and the chief financial officer, who are the executive. 7 provides for the amendment of Section 14 of the Act to delete reference to the post office, as it will no longer be the controlling company of the Post Bank. Clause 8 provides for the insertion of Section 15 capital A into the Act to provide for the functions of the BCC. The provision further provides for the bank controlling company to exercise additional oversight over the Post Bank and ensuring that the bank operating company exercises sound risk management and governance practices in line with the Reserve Bank requirements of the Post Bank and its regulations. Clause 9 provides for the amendment of Section 18 of the Act to provide for the substitution of the words managing director with the words chief executive officer and chief financial officer, respectively. it further amended to provide for the appointment and terms of office of the acting chief executive office and chief financial officer by the board. Clause 10 provides for the amendment of section 19 of the act to provide for the substitution of the word managing director with the word chief executive officer and chief financial officer in the heading of this section and in the subsections of section 19 of the Act. This is to ensure that the conditions of employment for chief executive officer and chief financial officer are also catered for. Clause 10 is further amended to ensure the process in the appointment of the chief financial officer, the requirement to conclude performance agreement with the board, and determination of the chief financial officer's remuneration by the board with the concurrence of the minister. Clause 11 provides for the amendment of section 20 of the Act to provide for the substitution of managing director with chief executive officer to ensure consistency. The section is amended to further provide for the appointment of the acting chief executive officer and chief financial officer by the board. Clause 12 provides for the insertion of section 20 capital A into the Act to provide for the organizational structure and operations of the bank controlling company, which shall consist primarily of a compliance, risk management, and governance function. It also provides for the board to remain responsible for ensuring that its approved strategy is implemented and that the group's purpose is fulfilled. Board shall also accept responsibility to ensure that risks are adequately identified, measured, managed, and monitored, and that good governance is maintained and that the board shall discharge its duty through policies and frameworks supported by board committees. The section further provides for the board committees to be established in line with the Companies Act, the Banks Act, and the PFMA. Clause 13 provides for the amendment of section 22 of the Act to include the BCC and to provide for the funds of the BCC in section 22 of the Act. Clause 14 provides for the amendment of section 23 of the Act to insert the BCC to also furnish the minister or to such officer as the case may be, all such information as may be reasonably be required. Clause 15 provides for the amendment of section 24 of the Act to ensure that the BCC is also subject to the PFMA. Clause 16 provides for the amendment of section 28 of the Act to allow the minister to request the Minister of Trade and Industry and Competition for exemption from certain provisions of the Companies Act applicable to the company or the BCC for the purposes of ensuring incorporation of the two companies and conditions under which exemptions to the company and the controlling company can be granted. Clause 17 provides for the amendment to the long title to include the establishment and shareholding arrangements of the bank controlling company and Postbank SOC Limited. Clause 18 provides for the amendments to the arrangements of the sections in the Act. Clause 19 provides for the amendment of the short title of the Act to include reference to the abbreviation SOC as required in terms of the Companies Act. And finally, Clause 20 provides for the short title and commencement of the South African Post Bank Limited Amendment Act of 2022. Chairperson, this is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Omega. I just want to check if maybe the acting DG wants to make a concluding statement, or that's it. Can we interact with the presentation now? Are you done?
No comments from our side, Chair. Thank you very much. We were standing ready for any questions. Thank you.
I thought that there would be Alpha after Omega. Thank you. Honorable members, there is the presentation. I think it's quite very clear the manner in which it has been tabled to us. It's easy to follow, easy to read. I would like now to take this opportunity to invite members who wish to ask questions or make comments. The members can make an indication by raising their hands through the icons. I see Honorable Lindy BB. That's the only hand I have at this moment. We have the Honorable Tebogo Modise. That will be number two. If other members are incapacitated to raise their hands through the gadgets, they can just indicate by voicing out on their microphone. At this point, let me allow you, Honorable Bibi, to take the podium.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to you and the colleagues, and also to the DM and the officials. And we appreciate the presentation that you have received this morning. Chairperson, I've got only two questions. The first one, it will be, Chairperson, as a standalone entity, has the Post Bank been fully capitalized? In other words, has it been given enough funding for advertising and operations to be sustainable business enterprise? I'm asking this question, Chairperson, because most of the major state-owned companies, once they are experiencing financial difficulties, the first thing they'll often say is that they were never fully capitalized. So, is there enough money? Sorry about that, Chairperson. Is there enough money for the Post Bank to be fully operational and profitable? My second question, Chairperson, it will be, if then the Post Bank would be a standalone entity, I assume that it will be on Schedule 2 of the Public Finance Management Act in terms of its borrowing powers. And if that is the case, how will the department rein it in for the reckless borrowing, as it has been the case with other major state-owned companies on Schedule 2 of the PFMA, like Eskom, South Africa Airways, etc.? Those are my two questions, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Bibi. I will now hand over to Honorable Tebogo Modise. Honorable Modise.
Now, thank you very much, Chair. Let me greet my colleagues in the platform, and also greet Deputy Minister and his department. Let me welcome the presentation of this important bill. Chair, I question here. My question is, let me start with by saying all other all other major state-owned companies fall under the Department of Public Enterprise, and not under their policy department domain. For example, your mineral resource is still holding the electricity policies and other domain. So this is, I assume it's because of the Department of Public Enterprise has over years gained more experience in overseeing major companies owned by the state. Now, let me come to my question, Chair. Therefore, has it been an issue among the department, which the department post bank should fall into? And secondly, does the Department of Communication and Digital Technology have the necessary capacity, Chair, to oversee commercial state-owned banks, especially in the view of what had happened to the South African Post Office? They have a capacity. Thank you very much, Chair. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Honorable Modisa. I see Honorable Ngwenya raised his hands, and Honorable Mahwala also raised his hands. I will start with you, Honorable Ngwenya.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all the members. And I would like also to thank you for the presentation. Chair, I would like also to thank you for granting me an opportunity to ask questions. And my question are as follows, Chairperson. I want to check how is the bill going to protect funds that will be accessed by the bank controlling company from the National Treasury? If South African Post Office financial standing is not healthy. The second question, Chair, is on page 4 of the presentation. It is mentioned that the risk of a South African Post Office non-banking services shows a threat to the safeguarding of deposit funds. The question, Chair, is there an IT system that can be developed which can work separately, that can help monitor and funds deposited as a way of reducing the risk? Ngiyabonga, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Ngwenya. We will now give the opportunity to Honorable Mbulelo Magwala. Magwala, masikunike ithuba.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to the department led by the Deputy Minister, and thank you for the presentation. Mine is simple. I think my colleagues has partially covered me, Chair, but I wanted us to this question to be emphasized in terms of capacity, in terms of the post office, as you know, it's sitting at the center of liquidity, and now there is a post bank amendment bill in front of us. In terms of capacity of this department, can be able to take the country and its people that this bank won't collapse as well. And then secondly, can the department explain more the powers of this BCC company that will be the middleman in terms of monitoring evaluation, in terms of the bank and everything, in terms between the department and the bank itself? Thank you, Chairperson.
Those are the only members that had made an indication that they wish to ask questions and make comments. Deputy Minister and the acting DG, I think the members are quite clear, but let me also welcome the presentation, as I indicated, that I think it's very clear and the intentions are quite simplified, you know, and it makes a lot of sense why there's a need for this separation. And one other thing is that we've been asking for a state-owned bank. It's now more than a decade that this call we've made. So the time for this to happen is really now. And we truly appreciate that you are putting your hands on the deck to actually process this for the realization of the state-owned bank, because that bank will then become a very important instrument of cohesion in transforming the financial services in the country, in giving the much needed access to those that are in the margins of society, to ensure that all the citizens of this country, at least those that get something, to have a platform wherein they can bank even the little that they have. But also to ensure that people can have now access to finance in the form of loans that would be reasonable, that would be affordable, and as well as development finance as well. I mean, this, the state-owned bank can also help in building the homes of our people without overcharging. One other thing that this bank will help us with is this issue that you have to, if you take a home loan, you have to pay it over a period of 20 years. I think it's one of the things that will help us to review, because a home is something that ideally people have to pay it off within a reasonable time. So I think with this instrument coming into fruition, we'll be able to do a number of things. Perhaps the shareholder that is mainstreamed is the state itself. Maybe just to check DG and DM if there would be any possibility for the citizens of the country to have a direct ownership by way of owning the shares to this in the medium term, long term. I know for now the state will take the custodianship of the ownership at large, but in your thinking, would there be a possibility for the citizens of South Africa, especially those who come from the historical disadvantaged communities, to have a sense of ownership of the state-owned bank, or whether that has been put in abeyance or it is something that could be considered in the future? We give back to you to answer all the questions which have been posed by the members, and also respond to some of the comments that the members made. It may be rhetorical questions in the form of those comments. DM or acting DG, please help us by responding to these ones. I see the DM is disconnected. Maybe acting DG and Omega, you can help us to respond. The DM can always come at the end.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. And I want to also appreciate the comments and questions that have been put forward by the portfolio committee. We will go through each. Maybe just to start off, Chair, I'm going to quickly just respond. The question that was asked, thank you very much to Honorable David. Thank you. Let me thank Honorable Bebe. Thank you very much, Honorable Member, for the questions. Some of them things the DDG will also touch on. Just to quickly, just on the few that I would like to respond on, in as far as the assurance. the capitalization of the bank, I think what is most key at the moment is giving you a sense of where it stands. We're happy that the bank itself currently has a net SLU over 4 billion. I'm a bit cautious in some of the response, Honorable Member, as you know that they are now going to be moving in the commercial space. And therefore, the commercial sensitivity in as far as to ensure that they grow, and obviously, as you know that this platform is public, you may find that some of the information that we may share can therefore be used in expanding of the other competitors in the space. But in as far as the entity itself, it is operating separate from the post office, which is, as you know, that the post office has got going concerns. The bank has separated its IT systems. The question that was asked by Honorable Gwenya, in as far as what then do you have, there are certainly requirements that the bank has to fulfill from the banking association as well as the Prudential Authority, which then they are meeting those particular requirements. And certainly one of those is that they have to strengthen the IT system, the security obviously related to that. There is also the officials within the bank, they will have to meet minimum requirements in as far as them being fit and proper from the board downwards. The board itself was vetted. It did pass the AG requirement, and now we're also going to put them through then the extensive assessment, which then they will have to also meet. But as far as then the management within, they have also met these particular requirements. So technically then they talk to the human capital element as well, as far as then making sure that they've got the relevant capacity in that regard. the question then that was posed in terms of maybe just to further talk about the risk to SAPO, and this is that the matter that we are responding to, Honorable Gwenya. The bank controlling company is the post office. But because of its financial status, the leadership instability, it was not possible then for them to meet those minutes. And the financial status thereof, they were not therefore fit for this. The representation by the department, technically the bank controlling company is the state. And that is why then the Honorable Chair refers to it as a state bank. So the Minister of Communication and Digital Technologies is now designated as the representative. But at a given point in time, Cabinet or the President can decide as to then who is then the holder or the shareholder representative for the bank. From a capacity perspective, as you would know, in the department, we do have an oversight function. So there would be two components to it. Our oversight division oversees the issues related to the financial systems and also then that they meet both the PFMA, the MOI, which then is prescribed, and also other good governance requirements. We are also in the process as a department of establishing a new structure, and in that particular functional area, we've strengthened then the mechanisms to also ensure that we have expertise, strong expertise in this regard, and these would obviously then strengthen the auditing financial responsibilities as far as then the requirements are from a banking sector perspective. But then I also want to indicate that in as far as once it is in law, they are also going to have to meet their minimum requirements as far as then the Prudential Authority, the Reserve Bank, and the Banking Association requirements. And so the oversight will still be prescribed, and we're working collaboratively with those relevant institutions along then with the AG. The question that was then posed, Chair, that also responds to Honourable Modise. The issue of maybe just to touch on your questions, Chair. Certainly there are far wider opportunities that this particular post bank is. We note the competition that is there already, but we also, I think, most valuable has been the fact that there's still pockets within society, especially those in rural and remote areas, that do not have access to a banking, to a bank. And also, because of their financial status, in most instances, the mainstream commercial banks, they have been rejected as far as then opening up facilities such as lending and home loan, etc. So this presents an opportunity, and there is the market. We have looked into this in as far as preliminary assessment on the need or the desire. There are a number of other sectors and stakeholders critical who are also equally looking for opportunities for them as they want to venture. So you have your SMMEs. You also have government officials, honorable members, whom at times, because of the financial situation that we add, that their banks have rejected. The others, as you would know, in as far as the transactions that are currently being offered through the SASSA grant, one would necessarily ask if you're going to mainstream bank to then show your creditworthiness statement, etc. Things that the grant recipients and the most vulnerable in society would not be able to provide or give proof thereof. So there's lots of opportunities that are veiled, and all of these. As government, our intent is then to want to expand and ensure that financial access is shared for all in society and not for a limited group or for the elite. So the financial inclusion is very important. The issue, as I said, of the opportunity for your SMMEs as well, and also those who have been from previously disadvantaged groupings is also very key. The sense of ownership, Chair, that you asked, or if then there's an opportunity, if we're looking into that, I think what we need to do, owing to the fact that it's a newly established bank, is to just ensure that it meets these minimum requirements. There is a strategy that the bank has developed. I think in terms of their future plans, they can look into this. There is collaboration that is currently being undertaken with also other critical stakeholders. I also want to indicate, including some of those stakeholders, look at other financial assets entities under the state, and all of them and have welcomed the establishment of the Post Bank as a fully corporatized bank, and they've also expressed interest in as much in ensuring that they will then be able to transfer some of them the facilities that they offer, because they're not a fully licensed bank, to then the Post Bank. And I said, because of the sensitivity around those would then be announced at the appropriate time that will be set. So those are the works that we're doing. But just to give then the assurance to the honourable members that the bank, the Post Bank, we are confident in as far as to make sure that they meet the minimum requirements. They secure their IT systems, build their own core infrastructure, separate the post office. Safe to say, though, honourable members, that there is going to still be a collaboration between the two. For example, the question that was not asked, but we have been asked in previous platforms, as to what platform will they still use in the future, and they will still be using the postal outlets because that's where they've been able to access the grant recipients. So there is going to be a sharing in terms of physical infrastructure, but not necessarily their IT systems at the back, because those would need to be safeguarded and making sure that they are secure and they are also independent. May I then invite DDG Shelembe to then respond to the other questions that have been posed. Thank you.
Thank you again, DG and Chairperson. I'm going to try and run through the questions which some of which the DG has touched on, but perhaps I'll just try and further explain on them. The first one has to do with whether the Post Bank is fully capitalized to be operational. The DG has responded to this question insofar as making reference to the net asset value of the bank, which means the assets of the bank by far exceed the liabilities of the bank, and therefore the difference constitutes the full capitalization of the bank. But I need to also add that the reason we are doing this, the separation of the Post Bank from the post office and the establishment of the bank controlling company, is in order to facilitate that the application for the banking license be finalized and approved by the Reserve Bank or the Prudential Authority. Once that has taken place, then the Prudential Authority effectively takes over in terms of the oversight of the bank. It ensures that there is adequate capital. It also ensures that there is compliance to the rules and regulations of banking organizations. Therefore, the issue of whether the department has the capacity to oversee the bank can be responded to by saying, in the first instance and primarily, banks are regulated and overseen and monitored by the regulator, and shareholders only play a shareholding role in this instance. We will therefore rely on the capacity of the Reserve Bank to detect through early warnings and reporting arrangements any threats to the viability and life of the bank. There was also a question from Honorable PP about the borrowing powers and how the department will rein in the Post Bank to ensure that there is no abuse of such borrowing powers. Again, I need to indicate that the source of funds for banks in the main are the depositor funds. Essentially, banks borrow from depositors and they keep those deposits. Depositors earn interest on those deposits, but the banks invest those monies to earn even bigger interest, which they distribute to the depositors, but also keep as part of the proceeds of the business. So that also has an inbuilt mechanism where the regulator jealously monitors the management of the depositor funds by banks, and therefore we are comforted that the management of such borrowing, as it were, from the public would be properly overseen. The ADG, the question about
Recording in progress.
Reference to the regulatory authorities that will help oversee and monitor the bank. It will help check if the bank is undergoing or undertaking risky operations. It will notify the bank to correct that, but will also notify the shareholders so that that practice is managed properly.
There was a question about non-banking operations of the post office posing a risk and whether there are any IT systems to deal with it, with such risk. Banking operations require heavy investment into IT and IT modernization and capacity. That is precisely to deal with such operational risk as well as a security risk. But the risk we are referring to in our presentation was that the operational risk of the post office, if it were to be the shareholder of the post bank, will pose additional risks which are difficult to manage through the IT systems to the bank. And therefore, that is why we are proposing the creation of the bank controlling company to manage that kind of risk. There was a question also about us giving comfort that the bank won't collapse. I think that was Honorable Magwala. I think I am repeating myself here in stating that yes, banks do collapse, you know, as a matter of their business, but properly regulated and properly overseen, that risk is reduced rather significantly. And therefore, with our system, the financial and banking system in South Africa, being amongst the respected systems in the world for its rigor and resilience, we are confident that the Post Bank will be properly overseen to ensure that it doesn't collapse. There was also a question that we explain the role of the BCC. The BCC essentially is the holding company to the Post Bank. It has no other business but only to own a bank. Its main function is to ensure that the bank files its compliance returns to the authorities, to ensure that risk management is properly done, and also to ensure that governance is executed properly in the organization. That is by and large the role of the BCC. But in the event that the Post Bank were to have financial difficulties, it is the entity that is the BCC that the Reserve Bank will look up to further capitalize the Post Bank. And then that is why we are then creating this proximity between the BCC and government so that such recapitalization can be facilitated speedily. The chairperson inquires about the possibility for citizens to own shares in the company. We have provided in section 3, that in the future, in the near to medium future, the minister, with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, may allow for additional shareholding in the bank. That does not specify necessarily that it would be individual citizens or other corporate entities, but it creates a window of opportunity for such considerations to be made. I think that would be my response, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Masibonge, DG. And TDG. I think that's it, honorable members. The answers, I think, are quite also clear. And I think the senior officials of the department, being the acting DG and the TDG, have actually just done justice to handling all these questions. Members can indicate if they want to make follow-up questions, but from my side, I think that the question questions have been sufficiently answered. But I cannot dictate to you, Honorable Ones, if you still feel that you want to have a follow-up.
Thanks, Chair.
I don't see an indication. You
thank
you want
Chair President.
Yes, Honorable Wenya.
In terms of my question that I've asked the Colonel Chinini Chair, I don't have any follow-up questions. Thanks very much.
And goes Mamu Wenya, cool. On behalf of the members of the Select Committee, I wish to take this opportunity to thank the acting DG, thank the DG Shalembe, thank as well the Deputy Minister, because the Deputy Minister has been kicked out by the system. I think it's an issue of the instability of the connectivity where he was located. He did indicate that his network was not doing well. But Acting DG, please express our gratitude to the DM. I think it makes a lot of sense what you have come to present to us, and it helps us to take this work forward and ensure that what needs to be done is prioritized and is actually processed within a reasonable amount of time. So that we can see this state bank in the form of the Post Bank coming into fruition as soon as possible. That is what we want. That is what the people we represent require and need quite urgently. So we wish you all the best, and we say to you, go back and do this work and break the leg and ensure that this is delivered as soon as possible. It would be good that this bank could be in existence long before the next election, so that the 7th administration can hit the ground running with this bank. Thank you so much. All the best. Have a lovely day. Members, please do remain here. We still have another item. We release you, Acting DG. Do you want to say something in parting?
Nothing, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a lovely day.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for coming through. Honorable members, we have one more item. We have one more item to deal with, which is the minutes of the previous meeting. We'll just ask the Secretariat to flight those minutes. They are. These minutes were also shared with us in advance by the Secretariat, and they are quite very simple minutes, because it was also an issue of the briefing. Can you just go back to the apologies? Okay. Was there no apology from the ministers? You can go down, you will answer that question. Yes, proceed there. Yeah, I think move a little bit faster. We know, of course, the members will indicate if there is a page where there's something that needs to be corrected. As far as I'm concerned, those minutes, having gone through them, they are a true reflection of what we discussed. Members, here are the minutes being tabled before you for your
thanks very much, Chair.
Yeah, Mama.
Chair, can she scroll the minutes? I wanted to check the support staff.
Okay, go back to the credentials.
Please. Yes, sir. Parliamentary support staff. Chair, I wanted to check in terms of the support staff. You remember, I'm a house chair. In all my committees, the manager and my researcher, they must be part of the meeting. And I have observed that they are always not on the register. But I'll ask clarity from you, Chair. Or is done by mistake or whatever, I don't know.
If they were in attendance, they ought to be reflected there, unless they were not part of the meeting. In so far as requirement, the problem sometimes is that you find, are they only dedicated to your office? They don't
exist
in other...
Yes, both of them, Dr. Kaini and Thabang.
Well, that could be a directive that comes straight from you, Honorable Ngwenya, that you actually instruct them to be in attendance.
Mm.
We wouldn't have a problem to have them on board because they are parliamentary staff as well. So if you feel that they ought to observe these meetings, then they are by all means welcome.
Okay, thanks very much.
So going forward, they can come through. It's not a problem.
Okay, Chair, without wasting time, I did get the minutes on time and go through each Chair. Then I would like to propose to adopt the minutes. Thanks.
Is there a seconder? Thank you, Mama Ngwenya, for the moving for the adoption of the minutes.
Yes, Chairperson. BB seconds, Chairperson.
Mama BB is seconding. Siyabonga, Mama. Thank you very much. The minutes are duly adopted as the true reflection of our meeting. Members, there is something else which I would like to bring to your attention here, which came through my office as a matter that we need to consider. And actually, given the diary of Parliament, I was compelled to accept that proposal. There is a need for us to have a workshop on Friday. Amanda?
Yes, Chair?
Can you just take us through the summary of the workshop that we are required to have on Friday?
Okay, Chair. As the Department of Public Enterprise will be briefing the committee on its threat plan and APP, as well as the financial year 2023-2024. So because it's going to be at the house on the 24th, we need to have the meeting urgently. There needs to be a report that's going to be tabled at the house on the 24th. So we do not have any other day but Friday for them to come and brief us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Amanda. So, Honourable Members, this is a compliance issue that we have to consider at the tabling of that APP, so then that we can formulate a report which we then have to present to the formal sitting of the NCOP by the 24th. So the dates are compelling us that we find a space during the course of this week, and the only opening that we have given the diaries, we have a sitting tomorrow, there are other committees that are taking place early tomorrow, and as well as other engagements which are related to our other responsibilities. The only day is then Friday. I therefore wish to appeal to the members to kindly make time on Friday, 10 o'clock, so that we can meet in a virtual platform to actually consider that briefing from the line function department that this committee is seized with overseeing.
Agreed, Chairperson. Agreed.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Let me thank you very much for your robust participation in this very epoch-making process of making the Post Bank a standalone state bank and everything that is related to what was tabled to us. We look forward to that. Can I just finish the...
okay.
Are you interjecting?
No. I was just throwing
your
attention.
No, I'm just expressing my sincere thanks to all of you members for the manner in which you engaged with that presentation. And maybe before then, I formally adjourn the meeting. Let me give an opportunity to Honorable Nana to say what he wanted to say.
No, thanks. Thanks, Kwanini. You know, I do understand the circumstances that are forcing us to have this meeting on Friday. Mm. And I hate to sound negative always, you know. But you probably, honorable members, know my thought process by now. I'm one person who never keeps quiet when things that are wrong are happening in front of my eyes. The department must have known long time ago. They must have known long time ago that they needed to present their APP and budget before us. But it has been left to the last minute. Some of us have other responsibilities. Leadership responsibilities in our province. Mondays and Fridays are constituency days to some of us. We are held accountable by our parties. We are made to do constituency work, which is part of what we are employed to do. Now we are expected to sacrifice a Friday to accommodate the department. As I said, Kwanin, I don't want to sound negative. But please, comrades, man, please talk to one another in the interest. You must stop this thing. It's not right. You must stop it. You see? I mean, it's Wednesday. We've got plans for Friday already. I'm running a by-election in Port St. John's. I'm supposed to be...
No, we understand, Honorable Nana. Actually, we share the sentiment. This was my first reaction when we had this. But we are dealing with a specific historic context that this department is under a lot of pressure, arising from many things that are affecting us on a daily basis, including load shedding. So I am not trying to defend them, but I say, I think they are under extreme pressure, and it might have fell through their fingers, this issue. We will raise this concern because it's a concern that we also have, that such a very important instrument of governance, like the strategic plan of the department and the APP, comes as an emergency issue. But you must also take it in this context that there is a deadline which has been set for the 24th by which some of these things ought to happen prior to that. So nonetheless, Honorable Nana, we will communicate this so that it doesn't recur in the future. I just appeal to the members that given the fact that now it will also have an impact on our own performance if we did not have time to look into this. In the sense that we would not have anything to show to the sitting of the NCOP around the plans of the line function departments in terms of the current financial year. So I really sympathize with you, and I share the sentiment, and we will communicate it accordingly as a collective concern for all of us as the committee. Thank you, Honorable Nana, for raising that issue. Members, I thank you all for today. Just to remind you that this afternoon we have a sitting, don't forget. So we'll see you later. In about 2 hours, 20 minutes, we'll be back online, those who are attending virtually, and those that are attending physically, will meet on the floor of the house. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you, members.
Thanks very much, Chair. See you 2 o'clock inside in the house.